Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 26, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 42, and we're on the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Mary P. on the 12th step.
Shelly E. checking in.
Hi, Shelly. Thank you. Tamara C. on the 12th tradition. Lou Ann C. will read the text for us. Janice P.M. will read the closing. Reference numbers, share ID numbers. For yesterday, Sunday, August 25th, the special edition, 21,685, 21685. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,686, 21686. Our newcomer greeter today is Yvonne A., and Shelley E. will have announcements for us. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA for those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Jody. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. from Texas. And I will now ask Tamara C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Jody. This is Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. This meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 42, paragraph 1. I will now ask Luann C. to begin reading for us. Thank you, Luann.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., recovered but not cured here in Boise, Idaho. The reading is, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much, and then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality such as I had exhibited in Washington was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Well, really for me, this paragraph kind of describes my first 5 years in OA. I never had anybody come to me and, you know, try to help me out because I was not admitting that I had a problem. I definitely couldn't admit that I had the alcoholic mind because, you know, I was binging and I was restricting. And so I was keeping my weight at some acceptable level, you know. But, so I just kept binging and restricting for 5 years and thinking, well, this is as good as it gets. So I had to get to that point where I conceded both propositions inside myself by binging and restricting until I finally got to the point where I was, you know, on my hands and knees, and I had to admit that this mind I had was getting bigger and stronger, and it was more complicated. It was getting more, the tentacles all over my life, my relationships, my money, everything. And I just could no longer handle it. I was just, I just don't know what to do. So I had to concede in my innermost self. And the piles of evidence, I had tons of evidence that I couldn't do it, you know, and all those tries brought me to that moment where I had to reach out. And this line here, this process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. When I look at the word flicker, it reminds me of a flicker of light. And I think I always had that flicker of light that I could do it, that if I just had the right, you know, diet, if I just had the right food plan and the right sponsor and all those things, that, you know, with those tools, I could do it. But when that light, that little flicker finally was extinguished, a new light appeared up ahead. And that was when I just surrendered to that light and the instructions and the directions and getting the sponsor. So, you know, today I'm on my feet again, and I'm so grateful. I'm a, you know, I'm a vital member of my family. I can, you know, I'm functional, and I'm so grateful for that. So anyway, you are all a part of my recovery, and I'm so grateful, and I thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Luann C. from Idaho. Thank you so much. Started. All right, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on that paragraph. But before I do, I'll just remind everyone that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Tony H. in Connecticut.
Tony H. in Connecticut.
Carolyn P. from Massachusetts.
Carolyn P., Massachusetts.
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Tamara C., Missouri.
Tamara C.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Arizona. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with that
Linda
lineup.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Linda G. from Alabama. Great. Okay, thanks. I've got Tony H., Carolyn P., Sherry H.M., Tamara C., Deborah G., and Linda G. Please go ahead, Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'm a compulsive overeater. Calling from Connecticut. What really jumps out to me, what I've underlined in this paragraph, is a hopeless condition. And that's really important to me and really jumps out at me because I could find a lot of reasons to, you know, if I when I compared myself with others rather than identify, those words helped me to identify with everybody in the program. Because, and the way, you know, there's things I haven't done yet that I hear about in the meetings, and I'm like, well, maybe this isn't, you know, this isn't really for me. This isn't serious for me. But what happens is I know when I get to the point where my eating is out of control and it becomes a hopeless condition, then I'm qualified, and this is working for me, and you know, that's the bottom line. So I've been able to stick to my eating plan and not eat those foods that I know are dangerous, for over 3 weeks now, and this is the first time, and I don't know how long that I've been able to do that. And the other thing is that I've been able to overcome weight thresholds that I had where I would get stuck for years. I kept losing the same five or 10 pounds over, like, I don't know, like 10, 20 years. And just to be able to get past that and to reach that goal helps me to understand that I am in the right place and I'm doing the right thing. And I thank you all because this, you know, this Vision for You call, it just makes it much easier for me to fit a meeting into my day every day, except Saturday. But thank you all very much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony H. from Connecticut. Carolyn P., you're up next.
Hi, this is Carolyn P., compulsive overeater, and it's so good to be here. I think I've shared once before, but that was a long time ago. I'm not the best sharer for whatever reason, but I was licked in both fellowships. This program, I'm totally powerless over the food. I can't say that in my other program. And because I'm not totally powerless over that addiction. But I can't do this program alone. And finally, I can ask for the help that I need, which was very difficult in the beginning. Never learned that growing up. But it was a great day when I gave up the fight and was willing to go to any lengths to work this program and to join the others on their road to recovery and go by the way of a spiritual way of living and life. And but very grateful to be here, and thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you very much for sharing, Carolyn P. from Massachusetts. Glad you spoke up. Sherry H.M. from Washington, it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered in Washington State. It's Sherry with a C-H instead of an S-H. I love this paragraph about the gift of desperation. And the last line is huge. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. I had to really be at this, you know, point where I was out of ideas. And for me, that came through, there were just a lot of medical bills. We were paying like $13,000 to $16,000 a year. Out of pocket. And so I finally thought, oh my gosh, maybe I need to go, you know, on another diet. And then I remember people telling me about OA. So I've been in there and abstinence for 10 years. But I did have a slip on the weekend. And so I'm back on track. It really kind of caught me off guard. But anyway, you know, I had to be out of my ideas. And it's a program. It's not for people who want to do it or need to do it. It's a program for those who do it. So, you know, back on track now and grateful for the 10 years and a sponsor. It's wonderful. And don't give up. This is an amazing journey. And my health is a whole lot better now from lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. And I'm just so, so grateful. I never believed that, you know, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I am eternally grateful. And I pass. Have a great Monday.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Amra C., please go ahead.
Good morning, this is Tamara C. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri, and I can feel Fred's frustration that these AAs are grinning when they come in. Like he wanted to see them. He was anxious to see them, but when they came in grinning, I can just feel like that. Like, I don't want you to be happy about my misery. Except, you know, that, you know, you know that my misery leads me to step one. And so you're grinning because you know that good things are coming for me. Like, I'm heading to that willingness to go to any lengths. I'm going to be willing to accept spiritual help because I'm finally seeing my own powerlessness. And so you can be happy for me. I've had times where my sponsor sounded happy or even chuckling or laughing that, you know, I'm sharing with her my character defects and the harm that I've done. And I don't like that. I don't like attention on my fallibility. But she assures me, like, this is the good news. My powerlessness is the good news because it leads me to a power and helps me grow. And she's only chuckling because she gets it. And from her own experience, she can see. So go ahead and grin because you know from your experience that I'm going to get a relationship with a higher power. I'm going to have joy and freedom and growth. Healthier relationships with others and myself. I'm going to experience fellowship and a feeling of usefulness. I can now smile with gratitude at the pain which drives me to God and the beauty of a life in God's care and direction. And when somebody calls me and they are in pain, my heart does go out to them. I know their pain. I know the fear, the discouragement, the torment that compulsive eating causes. It's really, really awful. And I also know that they had the courage to pick up the phone. And just as Fred, you know, reached out to the AA fellows who had shared the message with him, you know, I'm grateful that somebody in pain will reach out. And, you know, Fred had hope because he saw that these men who had been just as powerless as he now realizes he himself is, they had recovered. So if you're in pain, you know, reach out to us. You're not alone. Get a sponsor, lean into the steps, and believe that the promises are for you too. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Deborah G. from Arizona, please go ahead.
Hi, Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much, Jody. Excuse me, for your service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you all for 12-stepping me today, reminding me, keeping me reminded. And that reading, what I heard on that reading was coming to that awareness that I have no power. You know, I can't do this. I have no power on my own. And it was pretty evident from all the things that I was doing. You know, and I need to start having that awareness and sharing that I'm also anorexic because I always say I'm a compulsive overeater. And we're really coming to getting honest with myself and owning that I'm a compulsive overeater and that I have no power. And also, I'm an anorexic because I would restrict, like was shared. I'm still not thinking about that sometimes. I think about, you know, how I would compulsively overeat, but not looking at that anorexia where I wouldn't eat or I'd look at a part on my body that I felt was fat and then I wouldn't eat. To try and get rid of that, you know, just that insanity thinking that I can do this. I just think about it, and it just hurts to think about it. How I was behaving and thinking about it, and that finally coming to that place of surrendering and saying I have no power, and then taking the action of what I needed to do to get a partnership with power by, you know, because I have no idea about the food, what to do. So having a food plan, having a sponsor to call that food plan into and having it weighed and measured, because I don't know. I have no idea. Again, still I'm in that place. No matter where, how long it's been, I'm still in that place of having no power. So I need to seek partnership. Partnership with the food plan. Partnership with my sponsor. Partnership with all of you. And partnership with that power. Most of all, that power that I can go to and help, ask for help. Help me. Please, God, help me. Please, God, use me. You know, and it's an ongoing experience that I have in that. And I hope to, and there's that hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Linda G. from Alabama. Linda, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you to everyone who has shared today. You've all taken my breath away. I just recently completed my 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th steps, and it has opened my eyes so much to the way I've been living my life. I feel blessed that I've been able to see my character defects and been able to ask God to remove them so that I can actually live and open myself up to my husband, who I've been closing myself off from. And last night I was able to be more open with him. I've been very withholding from him, and I didn't know that until I did my 4th step. And I didn't have the courage to do that until I started sharing in these meetings. And all of you have given me the strength to see that and to learn to hold on to what I'm learning here, to reach out to others, and to let God guide me, and to not be afraid of that. Because I was very afraid of letting God guide me. But I'm not anymore. I feel brave. I feel brave in letting my higher power be my direct guide into my life. And if this isn't making any sense, I'm sorry. But with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Okay, everybody, we're on page 42 of the Big Book. The first full paragraph, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. Who else would like to share?
Susan G., Los Angeles.
Susan.
Kat.
Great.
Kat C., mm-hmm. Ohio.
Kat C., Ohio.
Mitris J. from Michigan.
Mitris J. from Michigan.
Mary Ellen T., Oregon.
Mary Ellen T., I think it was, from Oregon. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with those four, Susan G., Kat C., Mitris J., and Mary Ellen T. Go ahead, please, Susan.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. Susan G. recovered in Los Angeles. Thank you to Team Monday. Here we are walking towards the end of August. Thank you for getting us started, to our main reader and for everybody else's shares. Two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned. Oh, when I used to come back to meetings and you smiled at me, oh, did that bristle me. But today when you come back, I smile from the inside because I know that you have heard God's whisper. They've got you. They will help you. There is an answer here. And as responsible members of Overeaters Anonymous, as I hear a friend say all the time, we smile, we offer you a seat, and we hold your hand. And that is so important and so special that nobody is looked down on when they come back here. And that was always what I was afraid of every time I walked in, because I was normally fatter than the last time that you saw me, of the judgment, and there was none. There was kindness, and everybody was loving and offered their help. I didn't necessarily always want it, but each time I came, I wanted more than the time before. And God kept on guiding me, sit closer to the front, do a reading, do this, do something, participate. And I would look out, because we'd stand at the front of the room and read in our meetings, and you would all be smiling at me. And it wasn't a sarcastic smile. It was, we're happy that you're here and that we need you here so that you too can recover and keep on spreading this message. So that's all I have this morning. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. from Los Angeles. And next we have Kat C. from Ohio. Go ahead, Kat.
Good morning, everyone. Wow. So it's funny because there were actually two members that I could picture grinning at me when I fell last time. And because I went to, I came to OA at a suggestion of a friend in a group that I was previously in. And I had worked some of OA over a year ago, and it was just, I guess I wasn't ready at that point, or I wasn't ready to admit that I needed to do all of the things in the program. I had started to make some calls maybe and reached out to see what it was about, but when it got to the nitty-gritty of, you know, giving a food plan to someone, like being accountable and reaching out to people and things like that, I'm like, whoa, 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 that's too much. That's just too much. I don't need all that. No, I don't have time for any of that. None of it. And I was sort of controlling my food and everything like that. I had a modicum of control, I thought, and I had been losing weight and everything. But then it came that emotional things happened and chaos happened in my life, and I lost it. I started to gain the weight back, and I was tired of going through that yo-yo all the time. And I'm like, I have a real problem. Like, I really am powerless over this. Why can I not stop eating? Why am I waking up every morning crying out to the Lord? I am so sorry. I'm doing what I know I shouldn't be doing and everything. And I smile. I just picture, because immediately I feel like the Lord brought to mind the lady who originally pointed me out to OA. And so I emailed her and I said, hey, would you be willing to work with me? And she was temporarily. And then I also think about someone who reached out to me out of the blue from previous OA experience and said, hi, just wondering how you're doing. And I'm like, I'm okay. And she's like, would you like me to take you off of my phone list? And I said, yes. And I'm smiling because, like, that was dumb. But I, like, you know, I thought that it was, I thought that I didn't need that. And so, yeah, I had to snuff out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. And since coming into the back into the program and really surrendering, I've been abstinent now for 26 days. So I am super excited and stoked. So yeah, and it took my higher power. Let me tell you, Jesus is my higher power. So yep, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat C. from Ohio. Mitris J. from Michigan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Very glad to be here. Finally, I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. My best thinking got me here. Now I ask God, trying to surrender one day at a time, what do you want me to eat, God? How do you want me to eat? How do you want me to think? How do you want me to live my life? It's about me doing God's will, not Mitra's. That's the whole program for me, is to doing what God would have me to do. I can easily forget that I'm a compulsive overeater. And the disease starts telling me lies all the time. You're not a compulsive overeater. You've been abstinent. You could start eating this or having that. You can do this or that. That's not good for me. But I know that God wants the best for me. So I have to do God's will. I have to surrender my life, my will, my food to God and let God direct me and guide me. So I keep coming back. I have to keep coming back. And I've always heard it said, as I keep coming back, more will be revealed. And don't quit before the miracle happens. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you for sharing. Mitris J. from Michigan. Mary Ellen T., please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm hopeless, and I'm powerless, and I live in Oregon. I'm hopeless, and I'm powerless over food, and, you know, over my thinking at times as well, too. And, you know, my journey in Big Book recovery has been fraught with lots of experimentation about just how powerless and just how hopeless I am, down to some real microscopic levels. And, you know, with this, I had a relapse a few months ago, and it was a beautiful relapse in that I got to see just how hopeless I was. I don't think that I had really ever experienced that sense of desperate hopelessness. These past 5-6 years that I've been in Big Book recovery, I knew that I was powerless when I came in over certain foods and the way that I ate, but I didn't have that hopelessness. And this last relapse, I just ate and ate and binged and binged, and I was so miserable. And I missed my higher power so much. And when that thought came into my mind, it was like bingo. That's what I needed to hear. That I really recognize that there's no more other options for me, and that I know that the answer lies with this relationship building that I'm doing with my higher power, and learning about, you know, that I have to have spiritual help to be able to walk day to day, and not be in the food and not be trying to test it and experiment with it, because that's, you know, I live with a lot of delusion and a lot of dishonesty, even in the midst of building an active relationship with my higher power. And so I've just really needed to learn a lot. You know, I have an ego that tells me constantly that, you know, I can try this, or I can, you know, if I just try to figure this out, or, you know, trying to control something. And that I don't really need to do the outreach phone calls. That, you know, I'm doing okay. You don't really need to do that. And there's just so much freedom I get from the humility of the practices of outreach phone calls, sitting down and being slow and just reading and taking notes while I'm listening to meetings, and just asking my higher power to keep clearing the way for me, so that I can continue to grow my relationship with her. She's my treasure. She's my way out. That's it for me. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. All right, we're on page 42, the first full paragraph. Who else would like to share? We'll take a two or three more.
Holly H. from Ohio.
Holly H., Ohio. There's somebody out there who doesn't often share. This is your chance. Press star 1 to unmute.
Justine from Tennessee.
I heard someone very faintly from Tennessee.
Justine from Tennessee.
Justine, gotcha, Justine. That's much
Brenda
better.
From Washington State.
And Brenda. Okay, let's stop there. Thank you all.
And so.
All right. So we'll go with Holly H. from Ohio, followed by Justine and Brenda. Thank you, Holly.
Hi, this is Holly H. Recovered in Cleveland, Ohio. I always say Fred's my guy. In the big book, because my first reading was kind of when I got to Fred, when I started to identify in very strongly, because at the time I didn't understand why I was reading from the Alcoholics Anonymous big book, and I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic, I don't understand this, but anyway, it started to sink in. I'm like, oh, this is the same. You know, and thankfully, through much work in this program, I see the similarities between all of us addicts very clearly now. But the thing that I thought of when reading this today was never deprive anyone from making their own mistakes. And it sounds really harsh and kind of humorous, and I think I heard it here on the line some time ago, but it's so true. It is so true. It's like we can't force people to get this before they're ready, you know, before they've exhausted all hope, you know. They might understand it on some level, but you have to, I know for me, I had to get to the point where I realized that I'm out of options. There's nothing left. This is truly the last train on the stop for me, or the last stop on the train, I should say, for me, before death, you know, honestly. And I can say now with, you know, 3 years behind me and praying for many years ahead of me, that, you know, I'm so thankful that I got to this place, you know, and that I didn't keep digging and fighting and clawing, trying to have control over this for any more years of my life, because it was such a waste. I've wasted so much of my life. And so I'm just joyful that, you know, I got here and that I finally gave up the fight. And we grin when people come back, because we know that compulsion to keep fighting on your own terms and trying, because it just seems like what you're supposed to do and what you've done your whole life, and you don't know that giving up will bring freedom. It doesn't seem like that could possibly be the case. And so we grin because we know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Holly H. from Ohio. Justine, please go ahead and let us know the initial of your last name, if you would. Press star 1 to unmute Justine.
Hi, Justine J. from Tennessee. I'm sharing mostly because the last few weeks I kind of fell out of the good habits of going to the vision meeting every morning, making outreach calls. And with that, as always, my food gets messier and messier. And I'm reaching for things that aren't on the plan, that like aren't necessarily off 100%, but they're not on. Like, I know there's a twinge in my, there's that little voice that says, this is not a good idea, but I still grab it anyway. And although I haven't gone full off the rails, I know it's like, it's around the corner, it's on its way. It's basically here. If I'm not going to continue to do the things that keep me abstinent, I know what's around the corner for me. And I'm feeling really good, like I've been coming to vision for about a year. Not a year, almost a year. Around December, it'll be a year. And I have definitely reaped some of the huge blessings of the humility from doing the steps, the power, inner power, keeping me abstinent, the freedom of my crazy mind, then my monkey mind. But all of that is only dependent on my daily reprieve. All that freedom is only dependent on me waking up, meditating, praying, thinking about others, getting on vision, showing up to meetings, filling a seat, filling a, you know, a share. And yeah, so I'm here today humbly hoping to put some coins in my piggy bank for today's daily reprieve. And yeah, thank you for letting me share. I am very grateful. And going to do my best today to be connected to my higher power. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine J. from Tennessee. Brenda, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. I apologize. Maybe next tomorrow you can share. So we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And I will ask Janice PM to read that for us.
Thank you so much for your service and everyone's sharing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. To see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until